Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege to share the Word of God with you tonight. Title of the message, The Barracks and the Battle. Let's turn to Judges chapter 4. Look at the scripture, Judges chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment, the counsel of the Lord. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kedesh and Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Quite a response. Note the first words of Deborah to Barak. She said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops?" Barak knew the voice of God. He knew what God was saying to him. Inside every believer is a still, small voice, the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And most often, his voice is the quietest voice in the room. "Has not the Lord spoken to you, Barak?" Like Barak, sometimes we may pretend we don't hear. Or maybe we're not quite ready to commit to the word of the Lord, what God is saying. But that prophetic voice represented in Deborah comes to seek us out. "Have not I commanded you? Have not I commanded you?" And we know that there is no life for us except obeying the voice of the Lord. To walk with Him, to be sensitive to His still small voice, to win every battle because of Jesus Christ in our lives. Has not the Lord spoken to you? Like Barak, sometimes we may be disinclined to fight. The war is so long. The enemy seems so entrenched. And that voice of the Lord comes and it cuts against human nature, doesn't it? So often it has to cut, and it does cut against our human nature. But we know there's no victory unless we go out with the Lord and respond to His word in our lives. Soldiers face many things: attack from without, but also attack from within. Discouragements, fatigue, battle weariness. Like Barak, we may be tempted at times to stay in the barracks. That's where he was, the soldier's tent, the quarters, away from the fray. "I think I'll stay in the barracks. I think I'll stay home. I think I'll stay in bed." But there's no victory there for the soldiers of the Lion, for the people of God. We will never be set free, and we will never set others free until we obey the voice of the Lord and say, "I'm going into the battle, the barracks and the battle." There's land to be conquered, and there's land to be walked on. The Bible says that in these days that no one traveled the main highways. The roads of Canaan, the promised land, were empty. They were deserted. The people would steal along the back roads for fear of the enemy. And it says that village life ceased. Many inhabitants of the villages fled into the mountains and caves and just said we're just going to live it out in a lesser level, but at least we'll be alive. Judges 5, 6 to 7, continuation. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways, the back roads. Village life ceased, said Deborah. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. God needs some people to arose. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Until I arose, not somebody else. Somebody else can do the worshiping. Somebody else can do the praying. Somebody else can give the finances. Somebody else can attend church. Somebody else can serve. Until I, that's where we need to put our name in there. Until I arose and got involved and served the Lord. Why was Deborah so strong when other people were so weak? Even Barak, if you don't go with me, I won't go. Sheltered in the barracks, back off the battle lines. Why was Deborah so strong when other people were so weak? Same conditions, same times, same culture, same pressure, same enemies. Well, Deborah's name means bee. Why are bees so strong? And the answer is because they eat honey, the miracle food, the instant energy source. Bees make honey and they eat honey, and that's why they are so strong and energetic. Thy word sweeter than honey to my mouth. Deborah was strong because the word of God was in her and the voice of God was alive in her. Listen, you can feed me a honey stinger anytime you want. Judges 5:8. Bible says Deborah rose. Next verse. Then it says they chose new gods. They chose new gods. What does that mean? Well, some of the translation says God chose new leaders for the people. God chose new leaders. They chose new gods. They chose new leaders. Jesus said, the scripture says, and I say, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Leaders, people, we are gods. No, not gods in some silly notion, we're gods. What it's talking about is we are gods in that we have a ruling capacity inside of us that we can rule and reign in life through one Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says when Deborah rose, they chose new leaders. The people came alive. It says, then there was war in the gates. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then the people went up to war. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Can you believe that? Not a shield of faith, not a spear of intercession was seen among the people. They forgot how to pray. They forgot how to keep a believing spirit. They were cast down. They were oppressed by the enemy. There wasn't a shield or spear seen. Oh, she said, my heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. She said, a people rose up, leaders and people that were willing. And they said, enough. We're not going to live a defeated life anymore. God promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. And we're going to overcome the enemy. We're going to overcome the enemy. Verse 10. So they went to war, and then, speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the road. People who ride, and people who walk. People of affluence, and people that don't have a lot, and everyone in between. The victory is for everybody, whether you ride on a white donkey or you have to walk on the road because you don't have the money to buy a camel or a horse. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, you who walk along the road. They've come back from battle, far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places. Yes, with joy we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation and say, praise the Lord. Far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the deliverances for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates, meaning they're going to return to their villages, they're going to return to the gates of their cities, and they're going to reign in life and restore what God has for them. Judges 5:12, next verse. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. ERV, wake up, Deborah. Wake up, sing the song. Get up, Barak. Go capture your enemies, son of Abinoam. These words describe what took place in the day of battle, that a shout went out. Arise and sing. Begin to sing. Begin to rejoice before the Lord. Go out into battle. Go and capture your enemies. Soldiers, number one tonight, know how to sing. Soldiers know how to sing. It's known in history that the armies sang very often. The armies sang. It helped relieve stress of the soldiers. It helped to build morale and bond the troops. It helped in the marching cadence. It helped to put strength and a sense of victory into the soldiers. And so they would march and they would sing long stretches of weary road. But as they sang, as they walked the roads of battle and on to the next skirmish and fray, they would sing. And they would be revived, and their spirit would be refreshed, and they would be encouraged one with another. With the information I have at my fingertips, it says that World War I was known as the singing war, that the army sang. The army sang. Judges 5:12, awake, awake, Deborah. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away. Song is instrumental in our victory, and that's what transpired in that day. They went out of those barracks, they went out of that camp where they were, and they said, we're going against the enemy, and they began to sing, and they began to rejoice and praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:20-22, we know it well. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat the king stood and said, a mighty battle. They were so outnumbered. Hear me, O Judah, O tribe of praise, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And what were the prophets saying? Send out the singers. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Send out the singers, God says. Send out the singers, said the prophet. Prophetess Deborah, arise and sing, utter a song. Don't let the enemy take your voice. Here, send out the singers, and then we'll have the army come in afterward, and they can clean up and take the spoils of war. Just like the walls came down at Jericho, just like the armies fled when worship rose, we believe in breakthrough. We believe in you. Soldiers know how to sing. Number two, soldiers are fit for battle. 1 Chronicles 7:11, all these sons of Jediael were heads of their father's houses. There were 17,200 mighty men of valor fit to go out for war and battle. Fit for war and battle. Trained, sharp, precise. 1 Chronicles 12:8. Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Men fit for battle, people highly trained, what? In worship, in prayer, in the word, in the knowledge of the Lord, in their giftings and callings. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. You therefore must endure hardship, New King James says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, entangles himself, not the devil, not somebody else, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, New King James says, you therefore must endure hardship. King James Version says hardening. It's better. You must endure hardening as a soldier. A soldier needs to be hardened so he doesn't flinch or retreat in the day of battle. When the battle's on, all of a sudden his spirit gets down and he gives up, he gets depressed, stays home, doesn't come to church, quits worshiping. You need to be hardened, Paul said. You must endure hardening as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself. How do you get tangled up? One strand at a time. Another recreation, another hobby, another this, another that, something else. And you get tangled up. It's not sinful. It just tangles you up, and you're not able to fight like you should. And you're not sharp enough with the Word of God. And you're not sharp enough because of a powerful prayer life and surrender and dedication to the Lord. You're distracted. You're caught up. Your mind all day is thinking of dozens of things you have to do and phone calls and little things. Now, we all have responsibilities of life. We all have duties of life, domestic duties, relational. Bible's not talking about that. It's talking to those other things that we just pile in that take our time and energy and keep us from being those fit soldiers for war. We must stay sharp. And we must keep our weapons sharp, because we never know when a surprise attack comes. It comes in a moment. And when it comes, you don't want to be fumbling when seconds count. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. It is written, it is written, it is written all day long. All day long. People fit for the battle. Knowing the strain, knowing the day. We all know what we face every day. People fit for battle, sharpened, weapons that are sharp, no dust on the Bible, no rusty sword. Get the nicks out of the blade. Get the nicks out of the blade. Something that happened in battles gone by, an offense, a discouragement, a disappointment, and there's a nick in the blade, and we've got to get it cleaned up. We've got to get into the armor shop, don't we? Into the presence of God and get back into His Word and spend time in His presence and sharpen up those weapons, because soldiers are fit for the battle. Number three, final point, soldiers take to the front lines. Soldiers take to the front lines. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul said, this is first. This has to be out front. The front lines are prayer. The front lines are prayer. Soldiers take to the front lines. They're prayer warriors. They're prayer prophets. They know how to seek the Lord. They know how to call on the Lord, plead the promises of God. Isaiah 21:5-6. Prepare the table. Set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes, anoint the shield. For thus has the Lord said to me, go set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. The watchman was the front lines. The watchman was the first line of defense. Go set a watchman. Let him see what he sees. Watch and pray, Jesus said. Set a watchman. Watch and pray. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. We know the first place, the first line of defense is prayer. The prayer anointing. The prayer shield. Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Front line of defense. I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus said, you're not on the front lines of prayer, Peter, but I'm on the front lines of prayer for you. And because you're not, you're going to fail. But something's going to happen inside of you, and you're going to rise up and say, I will not fail the Lord in that again. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be on the front lines of prayer. Matthew 26:40. Then Jesus came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, Peter. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. There's a battle out ahead. There's a charge that the enemy would bring against you. You're going to face something this week, Peter. Even tonight, Peter. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Peter, the front line of defense is your prayer life. But Peter failed, and he denied the Lord, and he went out and wept bitterly. I like 1 Peter 4:7. This is Peter, some 40 years later, writing the book of 1 Peter. As he's writing this, you know the memory of what happened that night in Gethsemane is as fresh in his mind as the day it happened. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Be serious and watchful. Watch and pray. Be on the alert. Be prepared. Peter that night failed, but he learned his lesson. And he said, I'll be found in the place of prayer. Well, soldiers take to the front lines, don't they? We're soldiers of the Lord. Let's have the worship ministry return tonight. The barracks and the battle. The barracks and the battle. Soldiers of the Lord. Soldiers take to the front lines. Soldiers are fit for the battle. Ezekiel 37:9-10. Also he said to me, the Lord said to Isaiah, prophesy to the breath. That's the Holy Spirit. Prophesy to the Spirit. Prophesy to the wind. Begin to make declaration to the Holy Spirit. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's God's desire, an exceedingly great army. Every person, a soldier, every person fit for the battle, everyone strengthened. Tonight I trust the word of the Lord has encouraged you. Maybe you needed this word tonight. Maybe you'll need it this week. Rise up. Soldiers know how to sing. Soldiers are fit for the battle, and soldiers take to the front lines. Let's stand together tonight as we close out in worship before the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for any need or situation, please feel free to come to the altar down to the front. People will pray for you and lift you up. Let's close out in worship tonight and thank the Lord for his mercy and goodness upon our lives.